What time do I stop? He said the same time, and I don't remember, so.
8:25.
All right. Let's have a quick word of prayer before we begin. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your love and tenderness toward us. I pray that you would please, Father, through this testimony that I have, and I only have a testimony because of who you are. Lord, I'm so thankful for how you've worked in my life and how you've promised to continue and how you want to work in every one of our lives. Sometimes our testimonies are not the same. Perhaps our testimony is that we've never left the church, we've never strayed from you, and that would be the most powerful testimony in the universe. So, Father, whatever our testimonies are, help us to draw courage and strength from what you're willing to do for each one of us. Thank you for your salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your inspiration through the Holy Spirit. And thank you for your tender love, Father. We love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen. So where did I end up last night? Camp meeting, that's right. So we'll launch right off. My early testimony could be I had God protecting me even though I didn't acknowledge him. And so that shows many times that even when you don't know the Lord, he's still there in your life and he's still guiding circumstances. And I failed to tell you this because of all the tragedy and all the junk, the abuse and the sexual stuff that went on in my life. I was actually very suicidal. I actually tried to kill myself a number of times. In fact, I have a scar on my wrist where my brother actually fought the knife out of my hand and it slipped and it sliced me about that far right there on the top of my wrist. And so it was a bad situation. And, you know, the Bible says that in this world you shall have tribulation. Obviously, my childhood was that. But he also says he'll give his angels charge over thee. And I was in a fit, in a rage, and my little brother wouldn't have been strong enough to fight that out of my hand. And so I believe it was an angel that was given charge over me. And there are many times I did really dumb things to try to end my life because of just the hopelessness that we had. And, I did crazy things, and I don't need to go through the list because I don't want to put any ideas in your head of some of the dumb things that we did. But praise God, he has promised that he will take us and he will guide us and he will renew our hearts. And so from the camp meeting on is when things really started to change for me. And so as I mentioned, I was looking for a guy named Danny Vieira, and I was going to be videotaping a camp meeting for him that he was running. And I was in video production, and I had no idea what a camp meeting was. It was a meeting about camping, I thought, right? Now, I'm not an ignorant person. Well, actually, I was ignorant of that. I'm not a dumb guy, but, you know, what would you think a camp meeting is about? If you're not a Christian or ever raised around, you would think it's a meeting about camping. And when I found out it was religious meetings, boy, the joke was on me. Because, frankly, at that point in my life, I wanted nothing to do with God. Because I remember as a child crying out and just yelling and saying, you know, if there's a God out there, you know, remember I told you about that saying that prayer because I went to that one evangelistic thing and once saved, always saved theology. And you know, he's this all-powerful God. If he was so powerful, how come he was letting me go through all this pain and all this hurt? And so I wasn't interested in a God that obviously, to my mind, couldn't help me. And so when I got into college and started taking different ology courses, it trained me quite efficiently to be an atheist and to believe in evolution and not to believe in a creator God that loved me and wanted to help me. So by the time this camp meeting rolled around, I had no desire to talk to a tyrant God in the sky, and that's what I thought of God. So when I heard these were religious meetings, I was just like not excited. And then this guy gets up there, Danny, and I don't know if anybody here know Danny Vieira? He's a health guy, and he's kind of a crazy health guy. And I liked that because he was just really sincere and really believed in what he was preaching. And he got up there and started talking about Daniel and Daniel's diet, you know, And I, for me, it was strange that these religious people were talking about food and diet. You know, I just didn't quite make the connection. And he started talking about Pulse and Daniel ate Pulse, and he was all excited. And I mean, I didn't know what Pulse was, so I thought maybe Daniel was a vampire or something. I'm serious. What would you think Pulse was? Right? That's a pulse. Like I said, I'm not a dumb guy. I grew up learning what pulse was. And then eventually he explained it. It was like a vegetable soup and vegetables. And I was like, oh, because he looked really young. Danny did. He looked very buffed. And he was like 20 years older than me, but he looked better than I did. So I thought maybe he was a vampire. You know, I didn't know because it's supposed, you know, I'm just telling you the truth. I'm really not that dumb. But, you know, a camp meeting should be about camping, and pulse is about your heart rate, right? So anyway, I finally figured it out when he told me that, and I was happy. I took my scarf off. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, just thinking these people were very interesting. But I was interested in what he was saying, and he had this... I wish I had pictures of it. Actually, I have a video. I need to find the masters, but... he had this Ziploc baggie, a 1 gallon Ziploc baggie, and he was talking about how God provided. He lived out in the country, and this camp meeting was held in a town there in Lodi, California, and he was talking about how he had picked all this food on the way to the meetings that morning, and he was talking about there's this wild edible food everywhere on the side, and he had picked a bunch of weeds, what it looked like to me, and he's sitting there and just eating them. He's talking about God has provided, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, ready one, take one, one your life. It's like making good TV, you know, because I was like, this guy's crazy. But I really liked him because he was talking about you can be healthy. And he dropped down and ripped off like 50 push-ups right there, and the guy was 40 something at the time, 45 years old, and I was like, I can't do that, you know, and. He was talking about all the animals in God's kingdom that are the fastest and the strongest, and they're all the vegetarians. In fact, they're all vegans, if you think about that. And I didn't know what a vegan was. And then eventually, Danny and I started making some friends. He and I made friends, basically, during that time. And I had worked out some free food for the crew. They were mock chicken sandwiches. In other words, that means fake chicken sandwich. I grew up eating the real thing. Why would you want to eat fake chicken sandwiches, you know? But what's funny was it's just tofu with this breaded with like brewer's yeast and stuff. And so I was eating the stuff and I'm like, that's not too bad. And my buddies on my crew were just like, this stuff's gross. And they took off and went and got hamburgers. And I'm like, it's really not too bad, you know? And so I was starting to acclimate to the interesting Adventist people. And I didn't quite understand the hiking boots with the dresses, you know. I don't really understand it still if you're not hiking. But so anyway, I was just kind of really, you know, when you're an outsider looking in, especially in a real conservative group, you just don't get some stuff, you know. And so it's amazing that I wound up joining, excuse me. The reality is Danny and I became friends, and there were a number of different speakers there and talking about prophecy, and they're opening up the Word of God, talking about America was, you know, prophesied. And I was just amazed by that. And he's talking about the problems we have with the government, and I was like, that's true. So politically, it just seemed like I kind of aligned, and health-wise, I had serious problems, and Danny and I became friends, and eventually that led to him helping me through a very serious health problem. Actually, at 24 years old, I had colon cancer, and I didn't know it. And God absolutely saved my life through becoming overnight. I went from, he said, here's what you need to do, and he just gave me this list, and I became vegan vegetarian overnight. I was sick. I was losing weight. I couldn't put weight on. And I just was unhealthy. I just sallow, and I had serious problems. And through changing my life and detoxification and juicing and just really a healthy vegan diet. You know, you can be vegan and die of lifestyle diseases. And that's because there's a lot of food analogs and junk that you can eat that's not good for you, but it's vegan. And I'm thankful that I was introduced to a healthy vegan lifestyle. And because of that, I actually got well. And eventually, I actually passed some tumors, and it was a pretty miracle, miraculous story. And my fiance was there with me at the time. Her name was Kobe. She's my wife today, praise the Lord. And she grew up in a heathen home, no Jesus, no nothing. And eventually, I went from doing very well in production and television production and moved down to Santa Barbara to go in California there to enroll in film school. I wanted to be a film director. And so I'd done very well in TV and video production, but now I wanted to switch over to something a little more creative and artsy and do some film. And when we moved down to Santa Barbara, we actually moved in together. And at that point, I asked her to marry me, and we were intent on marriage. And one thing led to another, as what happens when you live together, and we were not married, and I got her pregnant. And at 4.5 months, we lost the baby, and that was a very trying time, and it was very difficult. And as a result, Kobe got very sick. She had problems. They had different procedures they had to do. They're called DNCs, and she wound up having multiple of them because of problems and auto intoxication, and she was just really septic and sick and having serious problems. It wound up taking almost 2 years for them to help her out. She was told that she would probably never carry a child. Unfortunately, she was in the wrong place at the wrong time when she was a young lady, and some terrible things happened to her with multiple guys, and she was actually damaged and in her female reproductive system. And so she was told that she probably would never have children. And then when we lost the baby, it was just kind of a realization that that was probably going to be the case, that we would have, you know, we would adopt someday and we wouldn't be able to have our own children. And it was our intention someday. We were going to be rich and famous and have lots of money and have kids. That's what our plan was. And spoil them rotten. That was really what we were going to do. And sorry, Tyler. I'm not rich, famous, or I can't spoil you rotten either. So I apologize. No, I don't apologize. Because this life is much better. Amen? Amen. So anyway, I wound up getting interested. I guess I could say I wasn't interested in the Bible or Christianity, but at that point, because of Danny's helping me and his influence and the way he was trying to live his life, I was open, I suppose you could say. I wasn't like against Christians anymore, because I found a couple that seemed to have a different spin on things and a different way of looking at things, and not so, you know, just say a prayer and you know, you're good to go and live your life however you want. And this guy was talking about, no, I mean, you know, and he explained things to me that he goes, that doesn't work. And I said, well, it never sat right with me anyway. And we just talked about basic salvation. We talked about health. We talked about the end of the world and, you know, and we were just friends. And when I was down there in Santa Barbara, he asked me to go and help him shoot a video on alternative cancer therapies. Actually, that's when I found out I was very sick, when we were down there at the clinics in Mexico to shoot that, is when I found out that I was actually quite sick. So he helped me through that. I started getting healthier. I started putting on a normal weight for me, and I started feeling great. And frankly, I can tell you, I'm 42 years old now, and I feel healthier and stronger than I did when I was 24. I do. I mean, it's just God's plan is the right plan. It's so awesome. You know, don't eat healthy because your parents expect you to or make you eat healthy, because it's the best thing for your machinery. You know, I would never put salt water or sugar water in the tank of my car, because my car just wouldn't run well. And so I was putting all the wrong stuff in my car, in my body, and it just wasn't running well. And then I just switched fuels and vroom, amen. You just start to feel like a little race car, and that's good stuff. So I wound up being open more to the health message, and my friendship with Danny continued. And Kobe and I moved to Phoenix, Arizona area, and to be near where her parents had moved. And she was having some struggles with the loss of the child and different things. So she wanted to be closer to her mother, and I consented, and we moved to Phoenix. And while we were there, I could not find a job in production, which had never been the case before. I was very hireable, very marketable, and I could always just show up, give my resume out to a couple people, and I was in the industry again wherever I went. And I couldn't find one no matter how many doors I knocked on, no matter how many TV stations I went to. Nobody was hiring. And that's just very unusual. And so I was very frustrated by that, and I had to go back to just kind of normal jobs. And I don't know why. Well, I know now why, because God was intervening in my life. And eventually, what was interesting was I had started listening to Christian radio. I will emphasize, quote-unquote, Christian radio. I stopped using my foul language. And nobody told me any of this kind of stuff. It was just I was more open now, I suppose, to being, you know, a better person. And I never perceived that using foul language made me a bad person, but, you know, I just wanted to clean up my life. And I actually came under conviction that Kobe and I should not be intimate with one another if we were not married. And as a heathen guy not claiming God, I told her, I think I need to just sleep on the couch. And, you know, we really loved each other. We were engaged, and we were very attracted to one another, and that was just too hard. So I moved into the other room in our little condo that we had. And that still didn't work. I went and moved in with a friend of mine, and I moved out. And we're non-Christians. Everybody that were my friends thought we were nuts. We had a great relationship. We had never fought. We had never had argument. We were just in love, and we were great together. But something in my heart was wrong now. And all I can say is that is God working in a heart. I wasn't rejecting him anymore. I was just saying, I don't even think I said I'm open, but he just loves me so much, he had to come in and start changing some stuff. Amen? Amen. And so I was just open now, and I didn't even realize how open I was, but I had tried every self-help course and book and anything I could to help with my damaged heart that I had as a child. And he started revealing things to me, and I didn't really realize it was God. I just thought I was making noble decisions, you know, and it was the right choice. And so I moved out with a friend of mine as a roommate, and he was the absolute opposite of me. I was vegan vegetarian. He was an absolute carnivore. I don't even know if he ever ate pulse, okay? He ate things that had a pulse. That's all he did. And I didn't use foul language, and this guy was foul. I wasn't even intimate with my fiance, and he was bringing ladies home all the time from the bars. And, I mean, our lives were so diametrically opposed. He'd woke up in the morning. I'm not kidding. The first thing he would do in the morning is go light up a cigarette and open a beer. That was his breakfast. And I'm like Mr. Health Guy now, and I'm thinking, I hate my life. I don't want to live here with this guy. I felt like I was living with the devil, you know. And I wanted something different. And I believe God totally allowed it because I couldn't find a job in production. I'm no longer living with my fiance. I'm living with the devil, and I hate the smell of all of it and the listening of all of it. And I'm just like, I am so out of here. And I just took off to California for a couple of weeks to go visit some friends. And I had an overwhelming desire to go see my friend Danny. And one thing led to another. And within a very short amount of time, I think it was 2 or 3 days I was there, he offered me a job to come work at the ministry, to come do video and audio and to do some graphic design work and help run his office and different things like that. And I was absolutely... he actually said, I could really use a guy like you. And out of nowhere, I said, I'll take the job. And he said, really? And right then, it's like the world absolutely stopped. And I said, in my mind, I was like, no. No, of course not. No way. And I was having this internal struggle because God had never helped me in my mind. He had never helped me before. He allowed me to go through all of that pain and all that suffering, and He never delivered us. Nobody ever came to the door and saved us. No cops showed up. No neighbors showed up. No family members. Nobody was ever there. When we left my home, my mom divorced him, we had to leave with the police standby. The cops came and were standing by because my mother was so afraid of what he might do because he was that messed up. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not going to work for God. And I just started spiraling out of control in my mind. And it seemed like it happened. It took like, 10 minutes, but I'm sure it was just like that. You know, I don't know how God does that, but he did. And I sat there and I said, no, I'm not going to do this. And I heard, I don't know if it was God's voice I heard, if it just, it was probably just an overwhelming impression of just be still. Be quiet. And I wasn't saying anything out loud, but it was in my mind. And he just said, be quiet. And he said, I was there for you. And I said, no, you weren't. And he said, I was there for you, Christian. And I asked Danny later if I was speaking out loud and if I was crying. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I wasn't, but I was weeping. And I was, I can't quite explain it, but it was just, I knew something special was happening. And he said to me, I was there for you, Christian. And he talked to me in terms of a battle, because my stepfather he had been in multiple wars, and I think the wars actually kind of messed him up, and that's why he was the way he was. And so I grew up watching war movies. And so I knew strategical alliances, and I knew battle terminology and all the stuff. So he started talking to me, and he told me about the great controversy in my mind. And he said, look, we're in a war, and you were living in occupied territory. And I'm like, what? You know? And he said, you were living in occupied territory. Your parents had decided against me, and they had invited the enemy into that theater of war. And I understood it. I understood it. And he said, I can only go where I'm allowed to go. I will not force. We don't advance that way in a typical army in a fight. I can only go where I am allowed. And I understood to a degree what he was saying. And he said, your mother and your stepfather and your biological father and all your family members before have chosen to have another leader. He said, so I couldn't deliver you out of that, but I could go through it with you. And you know what? The moment he said that to me, I knew in the core of my soul he was telling me the truth. And he said, remember that time when you had to strip down naked and hold on to your bunk bed, and you were whipped from your ankles to your neck, and you had crisscrossed raised welts all across your body? He said, I couldn't deliver you, but I went through it with you. I was there, and I knew he was telling me the truth. He went through the pain with me, all of the tears, all of the crying, the strikes in the head, all the stuff. He was there, and he went through it with me. And I knew it right then and right there that was right. And it broke my heart to know that I had a Father in heaven who was going through it with me, the actual oppression and the pain that my biological father, my stepfather, were actually foisting upon me. And so the reality was that Danny said, it all happened like that. And God had just played this videotape in my mind. Remember the time you tried to kill yourself? Remember the time you tried to ride your bicycle off the roof and break stuff? And you know, I mean, just all the stuff I did. I mean, I was ran over by a truck. I was literally physically ran over. All it did was stunt the growth of my leg a little bit. I have back problems, but I could have been dead. All these things that actually happened in my life. I mean, I broke my neck in high school, the same fracture that Christopher Reeves had. And he became a quadriplegic. I stand here before you, an absolute miracle. not because I'm anything more special than you. I'm special and so are you. We're children of God, friends. We forget that sometimes. I shouldn't be standing here in front of you. And so God took an interest in, and I knew it when he showed that to me. He was there. He did protect me, and he did go through it with me. He couldn't deliver me because that's the rules of engagement. That's how the great controversy works. And there's a deeper explanation to all of that if you don't understand that. So I wound up going, he asked me, really, you'll take the job? And right then, that whole thing happened. And I said with a resolve that I've never had in my life, I said, yes, I'll take the job. And I knew that it was going to be for the rest of my life. Because I saw a father that loved me and cared for me. And that's all I ever wanted in life, was a father's love. How could I not? And then I began to, and Danny gave me a 90-day probation, and he hired me for 90 days and said, we'll see how it goes. I've never hired a non-Adventist, much more a non-Christian. And I wound up being there for 2.5 years. And then Danny taught me the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and I fell in love with both. I was like, oh, she is a prophet of God. I read this book called Prophet of Destiny, and it changed my life. I was like, wow. And I read The Desire of Ages, Step to Christ. I read the entire Conflict of the Ages series, and I saw, it was like, I would read my Bible, and I would go to the Conflict of the Ages series and find passages that would correspond if they did. And it was like, I would read it, and then I would get the spirit of prophecy. And it's like, I explained it like this. It's like you open the Bible, and you can read it. But then you get the spirit of prophecy with it. It's like you can put your head into the Bible and look around. It's like it all opens up. And it was incredible to me. Yeah, it's amazing. And so I just was like, oh, I couldn't get enough of it. And so I would sit there. We'd study. At that point, we were doing home church. We weren't going to any church. And we'd study for 5, 6, 8 hours a day. All day long we'd study. And I'd go over the Great Conflict, rehearse the whole thing and tell him. And he'd go, yes, yes, you got it right. Get out of here. Go to bed, you know. And I was so hungry. But I'd go home and I'd just read more. And I don't remember sleeping. I'm sure I did, but I just don't remember sleeping in those days. It was like I was a sponge. And I believe God taught me in a very short time what sometimes some people, I think, in their whole life don't get. And I think it's just a revelation of what God said will happen in the last days, that he'll be able to teach us and train us, and the stones will start to cry. I was just a stone. I was against God. I was Antichrist. Not the Antichrist, but I was against God. And so the reality is that for him to take me and change me into someone that eventually was going to sing and preach for him, that's a miracle, friends. If you knew me before, you would know just how much of a miracle that was. And so I worked there for a couple, actually for about a year, and Kobe and I hadn't talked for almost 6 full months, and I just started praying, Lord, I need to know if Kobe's going to be in my life or not. And he wouldn't answer my prayer. I didn't quite understand, and I read about fleeces in the Bible, and I thought that was really awesome with the dew on the fleece and the dew not on it was on the ground and stuff. So I didn't quite do that type of feast, but I just said, Lord, I was very unsophisticated in my early Christianity. I just said, Lord, I just need you to let me know if Kobe's going to be in my life or not and make it a big sign. I don't know. And so I actually prayed and fasted for 3 days. Unannounced to me, Kobe from Arizona shows up and walks through the doors of the ministry. On the third day, on Thursday, she showed up unannounced, and I'm like, that's a sign. But I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know if it was a sign we're going to be together, or it's a sign we're officially going to really cut it off, because we had never had closure before. And so I took her to dinner that night, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me again in my heart, in my mind, and he started telling her, tell her what you want in your life now. And it was absolutely opposite. I mean, God said, tell her what you want. I was like, I'm not going to do that. And I had a conversation with God telling him what a bad idea it was to tell her what I wanted, because it would run her off. And so, like I say, I was pretty ignorant in my early Christianity. But eventually I succumbed and I said, okay, and I'm thinking this is really a bad idea. And I just, Kobe, I just don't care about money anymore. I don't care about cars and big houses and boats and, you know, vacation properties. I don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to serve God for the rest of my life. And I don't care where that is, anywhere in the world. I'll go to the moon if he wants me to. There's not many witnessing opportunities there, but the reality was I was seriously ready to go anywhere that God wanted me to go and to do anything. And I told her, I just went down this list. I'm like, you know, I want to homeschool my children. I want to live out in the country. I want vegan, vegetarian cooking. And I just went down this list, and God's probably like, not everything. Whoa, you know. And I just went down everything, and she started crying. And I'm like, oh, no. And I said, what's wrong? She goes, I don't know what's happening to me, but I want those things too. I'm like, you're good. That's awesome. And I just couldn't believe it. And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, you know. And she's like, I don't know what's happening, but the last 6 months, I just don't want the things that I wanted anymore. And I think I might want to be a teacher. And I'm like, that's great. Homeschool teacher, you know. Anyway, she was still thinking secular teaching. But it was just amazing. God had totally changed her heart, and she wasn't asking him to. But she was open. Give God an inch, and he'll take a mile. That's good, too. Let him do it, by the way, if you haven't. So I wound up, oh, man, we got 2.5 minutes. And I have a song to sing for you, too. So I guess we'll have to end right there. I don't make the schedule. I'm sorry. I told you. It's a 3-hour thing, guys. And I'm only getting 20 minutes out of shot here. So we'll finish on Sunday night, right? No, you'll be at home. So anyway, actually, you know what? Why don't we just go ahead and continue it tomorrow, okay? Because God, it gets really amazing what God does. In fact, I need to tell you specifically how God brought Kobe back and how I got to lead her to the Lord. It was just so awesome. And then we were married. The crazy guy that was eating the weeds baptized me, and he officiated our marriage. I just hope he doesn't bury me. I told him, you know, it's not very common that you have someone that baptizes you, marries you, and I'm like, you better not bury me, buddy. You know? But it's an amazing story. So we're going to get to all the good stuff, and we'll start that tomorrow night. One thing that I want you to understand is when I sing this song, it's entitled Joy in the Journey. And truly, when you give your life to Christ, you know, I had a rough life. And when you give it to God and you learn to just surrender to Him, and I'm still in that process of learning how to surrender. I still try to take, I'm a type A guy, and I try to take control, and God's working. He's helping me. He's trying. He can honestly make tough situations amazing. He can pull you out of the depths of despair. And tomorrow night I'll teach you and I'll talk to you about how He healed my heart. And I can truly say that now as a Christian, I have joy in my Christian journey. And that's, when you didn't have joy, and then I went into the world looking for happiness and joy, and the world can't provide that. All they can provide is escape and entertainment. And I found true healing with God. And I can tell you, I stand before you, and I tell you this, there can be absolute joy in the journey with God.
Journey, there's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life, and freedom for those who obey. Forget not the hope that's before you, and never stop counting the cost. Remember the hopelessness when you were lost. There is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love all the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life, and freedom for those who obey. Forget not the hope that's before you, and never stop counting the cost. Remember the hopelessness when you were lost. There is a joy in the journey. There's a light we can love on the way. There is a wonder and wildness to life, and freedom for those who obey. Obey.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm so thankful that when we connect with You and allow You to live Your light and Your life through us and in us, that no matter that the heavens may fall, no matter that the trials come, that we can truly have joy in the journey with You. Even in death, even in sickness, it's only temporary. And that is the blessed hope we have as Christians, to know that someday soon, all of our sorrow, all of our pain, all of our sickness will be gone. And we will all declare, heaven was cheap enough. Thank You, Father, for loving us. Thank You for healing us. And thank You for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen.